Today I want to talk about perspective. And if you remember, in October, we are doing a series called A More Perfect Union. And today, I want to talk about how acknowledging and understanding our perspective as it relates to other people's perspectives and other cultures and eras' perspectives can help us to live in community and form a more perfect union. As a white, middle-class, 21st century American, my perspective is different than a lot of other people's. You could throw on any qualifier you want. There's a lot of qualifiers that you could label me as, and each one of them would uniquely give me a different perspective than someone who has a qualifier that is contrary to that. All of my qualifiers give me the perspective that I have and make me think and see and hear about things differently than anyone who lives in close proximity to me even, but is different than me. I process knowledge and experiences different than everyone else because of all of my unique characteristics that make me who I am. So each of us in this room all process information differently. I process information differently than you, and you than everyone else, and you guys get it. I process things, the world around me, differently than folks who, are female. All of you females in the room, we have a much different perspective on things. I process information differently than people who were born with disabilities because we see the world differently. And that's not even to mention how I process the world differently than people who live in other corners of the world that are not even remotely similar to the shared experience that all of us have of living in America in the 21st century. So today, as I kind of begin just going over all of my unique perspectives and how I process things differently, I want to point out three perspectives that I think color the way that we engage with the world and maybe help us to form a more perfect unity. And the first one is our perspective on experiences. We all experience things differently. We were all raised with a myriad of different experiences, so many that we couldn't even possibly list them, that shape how we see our world. From our family of origin to our religious or our non-religious backgrounds that we had growing up, to the specific location and decade that were our most formative years, right? We all have these different perspective of experiences that shape who we are and what we do. But today, I want to focus specifically on church experiences. As we're discussing in our church community how to form a more perfect union here as a church, I want to focus on some of the things that we do in church that maybe we experience differently that shape who we are and how we function together as a community. When you come into church, we have all these different things that play in. Some people have a very religious background. Some people have no religious background. Some people have a religious background with a lot of baggage. Some people have trauma that they're bringing into their church experience. Some people were raised with a lot of privilege. Some people were raised in destitute poverty. And each of these is going to shape who we are and how we hear things. And let me tell you, we say some weird stuff in church. I don't know if you know, but depending on who you are or where you came from, you may walk into church on any given Sunday and hear something said, like us singing about blood, and think, that's weird. You know what I mean? And trust me, as someone who has stood up here and sang songs before, a time or two, there are some weird lyrics in the songs we sing. I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying from any given perspective, they might strike you as kind of odd. We sing one song somewhat often, not terribly often anymore, called Reckless Love. And that song, I think that song is such a great example of, like, to some people, reckless love sounds so freeing and good, right? Oh my God, reckless love is like, man, God's going to do anything. He's going to kick down the walls. He's going to break down all that. I love that. But some people are more organized and like things to be a little less chaotic in the world and might hear reckless love and think, I'm not sure I'm interested in that. That doesn't really sound like something I want. You know, I will say, and this may come across as odd to you, but as a worship leader, a lot of the lyrics and a lot of the songs we sing, they don't really do it for me. Like there are a lot of songs that we sing that we go through lyrics. It's when I hold this, I think. That's the problem. Yep, I'm getting head nods. Okay, sorry. You know, there's a lot of lyrics that we might sing that I think, man, I don't know. That just comes across kind of weird sounding to me. But guess what? Like, my perspective isn't the only one in the room. And my perspective is just unique to me. And there might be a lyric that I hear in a song that kind of sounds odd to me. But man, it is really, really doing it for somebody who's a lot different than me. There might be a lyric I sing in a song, or not even a lyric, but just, you know, an older or a newer or in-between song that has some rhythm or something that's like, I don't know, this song's kind of, I don't know, it sounds kind of weird. But that's the thing, like, my perspective shapes how I experience a song, but that doesn't mean that a song is innately good or bad. That just means all of the stuff that I brought from my perspective is shaping how I process that. And so guess what? If a song isn't doing it for you on a given Sunday, well, that's not your song. What I like to think about is that when a song doesn't do it for me, it probably does it for someone who's a lot different than me. And that's good. That's really good. Or preaching, for example. We preach about some weird stuff sometimes. Again, not innately weird, but when we bring our full perspective to the table, something might hit you and sound, I don't know, kind of odd. Kind of in between preaching and a song, we sing a song called Roaring Like a Lion. Well, it's not called that, but there's a line, excuse me, about roaring like a lion. And I got to be honest, as a large white male, like feeling powerful isn't something that I really need to sing about, like in our society. Like I'm a big guy, like I feel like I maybe need to hear more like songs and sermons about like meekness or humility, you know, as a big person of big stature. And so like, I don't know, that kind of strikes it as odd to me. Or when you sing or when we preach about a God that is full of power and is going to empower you, it's like, I know that there are some people with perspectives that really need that empowered message. You know, there are some people who shrink back often, and their perspective and their worldview has made them maybe not advocate for themselves enough or not speak up. And that message in like that, our God is roaring like a lion. He will speak for us. He will defend us. Like that's really, really powerful and important. It's not necessarily a message that I feel like I need to hear very often from my perspective, but that's okay because our experiences as we process the world and as we process the things we hear in church, like we need to acknowledge that our experiences are speaking into what we hear. And we need to be grateful, in fact, that when we hear something that maybe, I don't know, sounds odd to us, that is an opportunity for us to pursue someone with a different perspective and see what it meant to them or how it spoke to them. It just means that when we hear something that maybe doesn't do it for us, or we hear one of those sayings that seems off, it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that we need to filter it through our perspective to understand what God is teaching us at any given moment. There are things like this, I feel like, that are said, from my perspective, every day, like every week when we come to church. But that's, again, because of my perspective. My perspective as a 21st century American male who has a lot of religious training and has a lot of doubts and questions, but an absolute fervent love for the church and for God's people, I process things probably differently than most people. I think I've said it before, but I'm kind of weird. And that's okay. That's okay. I think each of us is a little weird in our own perspective. But all of this is nothing to say about the way that things were spoken and written and understood to and by the original audience of the Bible. And that brings me to perspective number two, is our perspective on teaching and training and understanding who God is and what he's calling us to. It is imperative to consider when you're teaching or when you're learning, it's imperative to consider others' perspectives. I personally feel like we as a pastoral staff do a pretty good job at this. I don't know. Maybe my perspective is a little biased, but I think we work hard to consider the collective group when teaching and when working together in this way. But the thing is, God has been speaking to people in every culture throughout all time. And we have this recorded. We have a lot of it recorded in the scriptures. And so specifically when we read the scriptures, it's so important to consider the perspective that is being not only written from, but also understood from the original hearers of the word. And man, that is complicated. Has anybody like ever like lived in like a first century Greco-Roman like occupied Jewish worldview? Because I haven't. And that's the perspective we see in the New Testament. Not even to mention like the Bronze Age, like in the Old Testament, or like any of those other metal time periods. Like that, like it's understanding that worldview for as we sit here in like the richest and most powerful nation of all time is really hard. It's really hard for us to really look back and understand what God was saying to these people through Jesus and through Paul and through the original authors 2,000 years ago and before. But it's really important. It's really important to try and gain a healthy perspective on something like this. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, and I would also say it takes a lot of grace, because each of us, as in point one, is going to bring all of those experience perspectives into play when we try to then also look back at all the perspectives from the original authors, the original hearers. And so I just think it takes a lot of grace to work together with each other. I think one of the things that I say and think often is that the Bible is a fantastic tool for God to teach me how to become more who he is calling me to be. The Bible is not a great tool for me to tell you what you ought to do. Now, we can learn from the Bible and we can study it together, but for me to go to you and say, hey, you should do this because that just doesn't give space for the complexity of A, your experiences and perspectives, and B, the understanding of the scriptures in its original context. It's a great tool for encouraging each other on how to live, but to point fingers and tell people how they should do things because I read a Bible verse is a dangerous game to play. It takes a lot of care and consideration. And the reality is, Jesus told the people he was with different things based on their own personal life and experiences. For example, in Matthew 19, Jesus tells a guy to sell his possessions and give to the poor if he wants to inherit eternal life. In Luke 19, when Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, Jesus doesn't really tell him anything except, you know, let's go eat. And then Zacchaeus responds and says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus responds, today salvation has come to this household. So hold up, the Matthew 19 rich ruler guy had to give up everything, but Zacchaeus just sold half? That doesn't seem fair. That's different. But Jesus was looking at their heart and experience and working with them on how they are encountering God and teaching them about the heart of what it means to follow Christ. To another guy in John 3, he says, if in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born of water and spirit. What even does that mean? That's another sermon. We go into that. But that's a completely different thing that he talks about, because he's meeting someone personally. He's looking at all of their experiences. He's looking at their perspective and working with each of us individually and personally and uniquely towards our calling. Some things he calls some of us to may not make sense to others of us. And that's okay. It's okay because that calling of Jesus is personal and unique and diverse. If it doesn't make sense to you, or if it doesn't sit quite right with you, then it's probably not your calling. And you know what? If that's the case, maybe you should go and listen to the person who does feel that calling and learn about their perspective and hear what God has been telling them. Because oftentimes when we encounter folks who are really different than us, we get a more robust perspective on what the kingdom of God actually is. Maybe it didn't work for you, but maybe it was just what they needed. The third thing is my least favorite. The third perspective is the perspective on rules or laws or policies. This is a tough one because I don't know if you know me. I'm not really a rules guy. It's not really my jam. But having a healthy perspective on rules or laws or policies can really help us be better community members. It can help us live in community in a more united way. Sometimes rules and policies and laws, I would argue most of the times, just seem ridiculous and unnecessary. But maybe that's just my perspective. Maybe there's something that's implemented, a policy, let's say, that makes your life a little harder. But it assists or protects someone else in your community. Like from a different perspective, isn't that kind of worth it? One of the examples I thought of when I was preparing this was a long time ago. Well, a long time ago for some of us in the room. When I was first starting to direct at Camp Challenge, there was a new executive director in town. And they were changing things. And I had been at camp a long time. And listen, we had a way we did things, okay? And we weren't ready to change, all right? Right? And I remember one time, one of these things was when I was counseling at senior high, we would always have a staff meeting before breakfast. And those of you who have ever counseled at senior high, you probably remember this. But back in my day, the campers they didn't show up until breakfast. They just stayed in their cabins. All the staff, and this is at high school camp, okay? All the staff would come have their meeting, and the campers, they're high schoolers. They can figure it out. Get to the dining hall by breakfast. It's not that hard. And that was just the way it was. Well, when this rule change happened, campers were not allowed to be in their cabins without a staff person, without a counselor. Even senior hires. And so I remember having a fight about this because I wanted, listen, we've always had our meeting before breakfast. There's no way we're getting high schoolers up that early to get them all up and dressed and out of the cabins before breakfast. And I was like, it's ridiculous. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. But the policy was put in place for camper safety. Like, it had good reasons. Did it inconvenience me? Yeah. Did I like it? No. But it wasn't a bad policy. It was just different. It was just something that from my perspective wasn't necessary. But my perspective wasn't the only one. And so guess what? We changed it and it was fine. Was I fussy about it? Yeah. But was it fine? Also, yeah. And sometimes I think that we get so hung up on things. And sometimes I think when we're inconvenienced by things, we think that it's like a bigger deal than it is. And I think that we really need to, whenever something like a policy or a rule comes around that we don't like, it's really important to try and understand the other person's perspective on it. Not only the other person, but everyone affected, because it's not always about you. And that was the lesson I learned in that instance. But there's a flip side to this too. I think sometimes we have rules or policies in place that are just arbitrary. And like, there may be folks who come into our community that like want to be a part of our community, but just like, maybe they're either not interested or just based on their cultural perspective or their lived experience, that policy, it may not really work for them. And I think it's also important on the flip side to not hold to things too tightly that really aren't that important. You know, keep the main thing the main thing, right? Like, I think we really need to keep this perspective when we're considering policies, whatever it may be. I don't have an example for this one, but you guys could probably think of some. I feel like there are things in especially our church world that we hold to maybe a little too tightly that really aren't that important. I don't know. Maybe like coffee in the sanctuary could be one. I'm just spitballing here, you know. Like, that was a policy for a long time that like we weren't allowed to have drinks. But you know, like, I don't know. Anyway, that was a bad example. But sometimes finding unity in diversity means giving a little so that we can assure that all are able to join in on the feast. Whether it be focusing on our perspective, on our experiences, or how we engage with our teaching or learning through the scriptures, or whether it be our perspective on rules or laws or policies, I think these three perspectives are just a small sampling of the ways in which we really need to consider how our own experiences and worldview and lives affect the way that we interact with each other. And we really need to be able to have grace. We really need to be willing to learn and to engage with others who are different than us so that we can have a more well-rounded perspective. And this is how we can form a more perfect union. Listen, creating this more perfect union is complicated. I don't know if you've picked up on this yet, but there's like a million different nuances within community. I mean, I've just went over a few small perspectives, but there's some bigger ones. There's some bigger perspectives that are more like closely tied to like your non-negotiables that we might rub up against as we live in community and as we have more diversity. That's why our brothers and sisters in this Christian church movement have been working this out for the past 2,000 years. And guess what? It's been messy. It's not been easy. We've got like 1,000 different denominations because of it. And like, it's really hard work. But I believe that when we leave space to hear and receive other people who aren't like us, to acknowledge our own perspectives and how they shape us, and also to listen to other perspectives that are different than us, that is how we get one step closer to forming a more perfect union. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this day and this space that we get together. Man, what a gift it is. What an absolute joy it is to come together each week, to get to sing together, to get to encourage and challenge one another, to work to become more like the people that you have made us to be. God, I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that you would challenge us this morning to look into our own perspective and to really wrestle with how it shapes the way that we see the world. To really look at ourselves with humility and think, man, I've just got 1 in 8 billion perspectives in the world. And God, give us the grace to listen to others. Give us the desire to pursue folks that are different and to really listen. God, we long for unity and diversity in our church and in our world. We long for being able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and and to just love each other well. God, we ask that you would just stir our hearts this morning. Help us to seek to become more like the people you've made us to be. Continue to speak to us as we continue to worship this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray.